Turn to the book of Luke, chapter 24. And I'll just read one verse. Verse 44. This is Jesus speaking to His disciples on the Emmaus Road. And He said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me." Let's pray. Lord, You've been really good to us, faithful. You have blessed us richly with abundance in every way.
Amen.
We thank You.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, I pray that You will help us as we study Your Word. May Your Word really touch our heart and life. May Your Word be impressed upon our minds and our hearts. And Lord, may we be good soldiers for You, good servants, good sons and daughters. Give me a freedom and ease to speak that only You can give. And we ask for Your mercy in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Now, I'm dealing with the Psalms, and I wanted to take up Messianic Psalms. I'm not trying to go through all 150. I would set my course for the rest of my life if I did that. I might want to change it a little bit. But at any rate, Messianic Psalms. And if you don't know what I mean by a Messianic Psalm, it is a psalm, pardon me, that has something to say about the Messiah, which would be the Prince that was going to come. Jesus is who it is. And there are about 16, I think I'm correct on that, 16 Messianic Psalms. Now, they have to do with the birth, death, burial, resurrection. They have to do with the coming kingdom. They have to do with the Messiah. And actually, the Psalms, I think I'm right on this. The Psalms is the most quoted book of the Old Testament in the New Testament. The apostles quoted the Psalms, portions from the Psalms, and repeatedly more than from Isaiah or Genesis or Chronicles or Jeremiah or anybody else. I think it's the most quoted book. So, here's what he said. He said, "All things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." So what we have in the Psalms is not just a songbook. What we have is just not some poetry written by great people. And in fact, if you'll go with me to the book of Acts, chapter 2, we'll see what Peter thought about it. For it to be a messianic psalm, to be considered a messianic psalm, it has to be a psalm in the Old Testament, the 150, and it has to be quoted in the New Testament or referred to in the New Testament by an apostle, by one of these readers here. It's like types. A lot of people preach with types. Dale loved to preach with types. He and I used to argue over types time and again. To me, the only type I will accept is one that is mentioned in the Old Testament and mentioned in the New Testament. Now, I know some people, they can make a type out of a bluebird. They can make a type out of a rowboat. I mean, they make types and they teach from their types. But the only thing I can see to restrict them, to get them to stay to the truth and not just their imagination is it in the New Testament? Can you find it? Well, let's say a type. Adam is a type of Christ. How do you know that? We have the first Adam and the second Adam. First Adam is Adam. Second Adam is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you know that Adam is a type of Christ because you have him in the New Testament. Well, that's the way you need to treat these Psalms. A lot of people can say a lot of things, and they can spin some beautiful tales and make you think they really know what they're talking about. Check them out. Find out, does the New Testament actually back them up in what they say? That's what you need to do. And so far, to be a messianic psalm, it has to be one that's been quoted or referred to in the Gospels or in the letters in the New Testament. And then you know you're on solid ground when you say, this means this. It could not have been David. It has to be Christ the King, or so on and so forth like that. They're beautiful, many of them. Look, as he said in Acts chapter 2, look at verse 25. I'm not going to read all of it. It's beautiful. I can teach on it and preach on it. It's a good passage. It's Peter's sermon at Pentecost. What is it in verse 25? David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, that he is at my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. You know where that comes from? It comes from the Psalms. David wrote that. And here he is, Peter is quoting him. So that's a messianic psalm where it says, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. And he explains to us, we got David's grave with us right here. We still got David's grave. While he's preaching out there, David's grave's right there. Who's he talking about? He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, another thing he said about David, look at verse 29. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet. Wow. Man, I like David. David is an interesting man. I mean, he's a youthful giant killer. Everybody loves him. Hollywood loves him. People use that in talking about going against big government or going against something like a lost cause. Like David against Goliath. Hey, that's great. And then he was a mighty soldier. He had to be one tough dude to rule, control 400 outlaws. He didn't have any special gifts at that time. It's his ability to fight. Evidently, the little boy could fight, or the young man could fight. And then he became a great captain. He became a great general. And then he became a great king. He's a great musician. He was an inventor of musical instruments. 73 of the Psalms are attributed to David. And I think many of them that aren't attributed to anybody are David's. The Bible, many old preachers call this the Book of David. And he's certainly the most prolific writer in it. And then he's a prophet. In those Psalms, and I'm going to go back and refer to Psalm 2 and Psalm 110 first. David is pointing to Christ as a prophet. Wow. You know, he had an awful lot of gifts. Awful lot of gifts. Oh, he did some great sinning. But a lot of us do the great sinning without the great gifts. This man was a big sinner, but he also had great gifts. It says, let me speak unto you of the patriarch David. He is both dead and buried. His sepulchre is with us this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, and seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell. Isn't that beautiful? That's beautiful. That's Old Testament quoted in the New Testament to prove Christ. And it follows just exactly what Jesus told those disciples on the Emmaus Road. He said everything in the law and the prophets, in the Psalms, has to be fulfilled. And that's what they did. So these guys knew these scriptures. Psalms is a beautiful book. I do love it. You notice how it must be very, very popular, because you find many New Testaments with just the Psalms. Only book out of the Old Testament. Now, I have a couple of New Testaments that have Psalms and Proverbs along with the New Testament. Many New Testaments have nothing but the New Testament, but most of them have not only the New Testament, but they have the Psalms. Why? They must be loved. They must be loved. And they are loved. I love them. When I don't know how to pray, I start reading the Psalms, see if I can find something to pray with. You ever prayed the Scripture back? I know I've mentioned this before, but you ought to try it sometime. Get up and read some Psalm. This thing that David is crying about or praying about, and put yourself in it. Put your circumstances in it. And pray that Scripture back unto the Lord God Almighty. And get some better words than some of them I come up with. Get some thoughts that are a little more spiritual than the way I can pump myself up to have. Psalms are absolutely beautiful. So here they are. Now look down at verse 34. And I will finish with Acts 2. For David is not ascended into heaven, in the heavens. But he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Man, old Peter preached a sermon. And I know he cut and burned a whole bunch of those priests and Pharisees and whoever was out there in the place. Some of them got convicted and a great number of them got saved. Tremendous thing. The main thing I was looking at, as tempting as it is, I'm not going to stay here and preach on this. I want to direct myself to the Psalms and the New Testament, just in a couple of cases. If you will turn back to Psalm 110, I'm only going to take two verses out of Psalm 110, but the first one is verse 1. Psalm 110, verse 1. My Bible says a Psalm of David. It's one of those attributed to David. Look at the very first verse. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Hey, David can say this. Now, again, anytime we're interpreting Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, Psalms, whatever, anytime you're interpreting Scripture, there is a historical meaning. There's a historical meaning that you can fit back with the guy that did it in his time. Then there is a spiritual meaning. That means that it can be a blessing to any believer that reads it at any time in all the history because it's the Word of God. And so it has a spiritual blessing, a spiritual meaning to it. Every verse of Scripture. Many verses of Scripture have a prophetic. They have three distinct interpretations. Not only is it historical meaning, it's spiritual meaning that would work to be a blessing to any believer in any time in the history, from the time it was written till right now and up until the coming of Christ, and who knows what eternity will be. And then some of it has a prophetic meaning. Well, how do you know this has a prophetic meaning? Well, it was just quoted in the New Testament. I mean, if it's quoted in the New Testament, you know that these apostles, and by the way, this is the Apostles' Creed. The New Testament is the Apostles' Creed. You want to know what the doctrine of the apostles is? It's the New Testament. We have it. We have the teaching of the apostles. And they took that verse out of the Psalm that David wrote, I guess, 900,000 years before them, and they put it in here about Christ. Now it says, till I make thine enemies thy footstool. All right, go back to Matthew. Go forward to Matthew, I guess, chapter 22. Now that was Psalm 110, verse 1. Now turn to the saying of Jesus in Matthew chapter 22, verse 41. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They say unto him, the son of David. So he saith unto them, how then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then call him Lord, how is he his son? And no man was able to answer him a word, Neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. You see, these Pharisees claimed they believed the Word of God. They claimed they followed the Word of God, just like fundamentalists do today. Well, Jesus says, ask him a question. What think you of Christ? Whose son is he? Now, this Christ, that's the Messiah. That's the prince. That's the king to come and reign. And many of them, although it was clearly taught in several chapters in the Old Testament and prophecies, did not understand Jesus becoming a Savior and dying on a cross for us. What they saw was strictly the kingdom. They saw the Messiah coming, delivering them from Rome and everybody else, establishing Jerusalem as the king, the capital of the world, and ruling and reigning. And that's what they were looking for. Now he comes to these same men, and he said, whose son is Christ? Well, they say, David's. Here's the scripture. See, there's prophecies in the Old Testament that on David's throne, God would place his son, and he would rule and reign forever. And so, they're looking for that. Hey, I'm looking for the rapture. You looking for anything?
Amen.
I'm looking for that. I would just like to be raptured out of here. Wouldn't you have to buy a casket?
Amen.
Be nice. And if the rapture went, I could take Verlene with me. We'd go, you know. Be great. What were they looking for? They were looking for a kingdom. These are oppressed people. These are people that have been losing over and over again. One group comes in and controls them, another group comes in and controls them, and another group. And they had rebellions and fights and wars. Guys like Barabbas and others, they were not only thieves, but man, some of them were soldiers and some of them were terrorists fighting against the Roman government. They were looking for a king. And man, there's plenty of prophecies about the king. That's still going to happen. That kingdom is going to come.
Amen.
All the promises made to Israel are still in effect. God put a parenthesis in and dropped the church right in here. But we're not the ultimate. We're not the ultimate in. We're the bride.
Amen.
But Jesus is going to come back at the Battle of Armageddon, and I want you to know he's going to rule and reign. And he's not going to be a suffering Savior. He's going to be a conquering king with a rod of iron.
Amen.
And he will control. Here he's asking them. He's got these Pharisees there, and they're smart with the scriptures and whatever. What do you think of Christ? Whose son is he? The son of David. That's right. You got your scripture right. You got your doctrine right. He's the son of David. So then he goes back to Psalm 110, and he says, how then doth David in spirit call him Lord? Now, think about this. It's not so much in our culture. There is enough of it in our culture, respect for the age, respect for parents, respect for a daddy, respect for a grandfather, respect for white hair or bald heads, whichever comes first. You're getting close to white hair, brother.
Yeah.
Not the bald head. Why would David be calling his son Lord? Well, I don't know that I can explain that back in David's day as he wrote it in the psalm. That might give me a few problems, you know, for me to think of it right. How about the historical thing of that? Why did he write it that way? But no, the prophetic, I see it. Because his son is Christ. And that was the promise to Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve, chapter 3, Genesis. Here's the promise of Christ. That's a promise to Abraham. Your seed, seed singular, not seeds. Your seed, and that seed is one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And here it is. He's speaking to them about that. The son of David. How then doth David in spirit call him Lord? Because he said, The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. Wow. What did the Lord say to David's Lord, who was his son? He said, just sit there. I'm going to make all your enemies your footstool. You know that's going to happen?
Amen.
Bless your heart. It's going to happen. You ever think about all the problems we've got in the world, all the wars, rumors of wars, hurricanes, too much snow. Have you heard about the ice melting, Greenland melting and wiping out New York and Washington? I heard a scientist talk about it the other day. He said, well, it's going to happen, but it would be somewhere between 500 and 2,000 years. And you're worried about it? I ain't got 10 years. I might not have 2 days. And I'm worried about Greenland melting? And all of Houston having to move up here to San Antonio? Give me a break. What are we thinking about? Well, I understood a while back, they said, the sun is burning down. It only needs 5 billion more years. And then it's going to... What are you going to do about it? Hey, I'm not questioning their figures. I'm not questioning these smart scientists. Their first cause is all wrong. They don't believe in God, and they don't believe in God's Word, and therefore their judgment is wrong when they make application of the truths that they see. They're smart guys. Hey, I love reading about them. The bigger they get, the bigger my God gets. Man, the more they tell me... I didn't realize there were millions and millions of little animalitos inside of me that keep me alive, but there are, according to what they say. You get sick when one group of them fights another group of them in your bloodstream or somewhere else, in your stomach or your intestines, or in your brain. I know some of you are brain dead. That's all right. I apologize for that. Maybe I'm brain dead. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. I'm not sure exactly how that applies to David historically, but I'm pretty sure how it applies prophetically. It's talking of Christ. And Christ used it himself to talk of himself and to teach you what there is in the Psalms to bring glory to God. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Look also in Psalm 110 at verse 4. The Lord has sworn, will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Oh boy, this throws a lot of people for a wrench. Melchizedek didn't come out of Aaron. He's before him. Melchizedek does not have a lineage. One of my personal opinions, I can't prove it, Melchizedek was an appearance of Christ in the Old Testament to Abraham. That's my opinion. I can't prove it, okay? You do with it whatever you want to do with it. But here he is. David is talking about Melchizedek. And he said he's a priest according to Melchizedek. What lineage did David come from? Judah. What lineage did Christ come from? Judah. And David. Christ came historically from the lineage of David. He didn't come from Aaron. He didn't come from Levi. Nothing of the priesthood is said about David's descendants, except right here. Well, let's take a look at the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 5. Verse 5, 5 and 6. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, But he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee, as he saith also in another place, Psalm 110, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Forgive me. Here we have Paul in the book of Hebrews quoting Psalm 110 on this one verse right here about Melchizedek. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. He's got a priesthood that comes from a different line. He's got a priesthood with an endless life. He's got a priesthood that never has to be replaced. The Catholics have just replaced their big priest, the Pope. And they replaced him with another old man, somebody 76 years old, I think. 70-something. He ain't going to last long. They're going to have to do it again. How many times have they done it? How many times did the Jews replace their high priest? Over and over and over and over and over again. When am I going to replace my high priest? Never. He's a priest like Melchizedek. No father, no mother, no beginning of life, no end of days. Seems to me like an only be Christ. Yes, sir. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And then, the last part of chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, that which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Hey, that's from the prophecy in the Psalms. David being the prophet, the psalm particularly that it's coming from is Psalm 110. Jesus said, all these things must be done that are written of me in the Psalms. What can you say about Psalm 110? It's a messianic psalm. Got proof of it? Yeah. It's written right here in the Old Testament, and it's written in the New Testament. And you can just check the verses back and forth. And you can go that way throughout your Bible, by the way. As I said, not all the psalms are messianic psalms, but there are many, many psalms quoted in the New Testament. Now, you can always use that little center column reference, but it's almost always not complete. Sometimes you just have to use an old Strong's Concordance and look up every word to find what you want to find. And that's the way I did it when I first started out. I didn't have any of these computers to do it for me. It's sort of nice every once in a while to punch it in the computer. But Strong's will give it to you every word, every time that there is. Okay, so Psalm 110, verse 1. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Verse 4. The Lord has sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now, I don't know how David could have done that anyway historically. I can't explain that right now. I haven't studied it out, and really I'm not too worried about it. I think it's much more important prophetically. Wow, what a confidence it comes to find that your Bible can be consistent. You can find one thing. One of the things I don't like about the new Bibles, yes, they do improve some of the language. They tell you some nice words, but they lose some connections like these that I'm giving you right here. They lose them because they change the words. And so, I like this Bible. And I think I'll hang on to it. All right. Go back to verse 2. Psalm 2. Not verse 2. Psalm 2. I'm just going to go from verse 7. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. You ever heard that? Comes out of Psalm 2. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. That's what God's telling Jesus. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Sound like a conquering king to me. That doesn't sound like the suffering Savior. That sounds like a conquering king. Wow. Look at verse 10. Be wise. Be wise now, therefore. O ye kings, be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Boy, we're not talking about David here. Oh yeah, I'm sure some people trembled in his presence when he was going to judge him, or they trembled in his presence when he decided to walk out on the field of battle against them. Anybody that won like David won, I'd be afraid to fight him. But he's talking about the Christ. He's talking about the kingdom. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son. Now, I was raised as a proud American. Free. I didn't bow down to anybody. And it's completely different from this Eastern culture. They had kings. They kissed their ring. They bowed down and prostrated themselves, put their forehead right in the dirt and their hands out. What are they doing? They're saying, you're king. And we don't know anything about that. America doesn't even lower its flag at any time before any other flag in the world. Say, proud? Yeah, we're proud. We're proud people. Kiss the Son, it says. You kings, you big shots, you guys with power, you guys that are doing your own thing, you better kiss the Son. You better be wise, because God is going to break you with a rod of iron. I could say that to you here if you're lost today. Good night, man. Why are you still lost if you heard the gospel? God's going to break you with a rod of iron. I'm amazed. I am literally amazed at what some people talk to me, answer me, how they're going to meet God. You got to be kidding. You don't understand. You're completely out of the ballpark. God, let me tell you what you better do. You better kiss the Son.
Amen.
Before he gets angry. You know, this is Psalm 2. Wow. That's a tremendous psalm. I can't get over it. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry. And you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Turn over to the book of Hebrews, chapter 1. Verse 5. For under which of the angels, Hebrews chapter 1, 5, for under which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, and again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Wow. Praise the Lord. He didn't say that to any angel. And bless your heart, didn't say it to you. Who did he say it to? Oh, you ought to read the whole chapter. I don't have time to read the chapter, but Hebrews chapter 1 is the chapter. You know, I tell you, sometimes read some things 25 times a day, every day for a week. You take Hebrews chapter 1. That's a pretty good one to really get immersed in. This day have I begotten thee. I will be to him a father. He shall be to me a son. Now, go to the book of Revelation chapter 1. Begin at verse 10. This book is written by an old man, probably about 96 years old, probably about 96 A.D., while he sits in exile on an island called Patmos. And he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Well, the Lord's Day is Sunday, first day of the week, day Jesus resurrected from the grave. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. You ever been in the Spirit on the Lord's Day? Hey, let's get in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. How about that? Woo! It might do us some good if we got in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, right?
Amen.
I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day and heard behind me a great voice. It's an old man. He's not impressed with a lot of people and a lot of things. This was, humanly speaking, the best friend Jesus had on the face of the earth. The Apostle John. That voice is saying, I am Alpha and Omega. That means I am A to Z. I'm the beginning and I'm the end. The first and the last, and what thou seest write in the book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. He's got gold. He's like burning in a fire. And it's about his breast, not his waist. He's not a workman. This is a king or priest. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were as a flame of fire. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. And his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance, his face, was as the sun shineth in his strength. You can't look at the sun in its strength. You better have some real cloudy glass if you want to look at the sun, or you'll get blinded. Back in the days of all the drugs, and I don't know that's back at all, but when they were first coming out, there was a guy that got on LSD on a college campus and laid out and stared at the sun and burned his eyes completely blind forever. What a sad thing. Yeah, drugs are a sad thing. They cause you a lot of problems. So can a lot of other things. You make up your mind, you better bow to the Lord Jesus Christ. The sun shining in his strength. You can't look at the sun shining in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. You going to stand up to God and tell him your story? You going to explain why you couldn't do what he wanted you to do? You going to explain to him why you didn't bow the knee to him, why you didn't kiss his ring, why you didn't prostrate yourself in the dirt when you saw him coming? Look at what's here. This is the glorified Jesus Christ. That's who it is. John's letting you see him. Do you honestly think you have a chance of explaining anything to him? Do you think you can stand up in your pride and say, I'm 10 foot tall and bulletproof and I don't have to bow down to anybody and nobody tells me what to do? Stupid, stupid, stupid. No fear on the back windows of some of these cars and trucks. No fear. You don't fear, you're not very bright.
Amen.
Hey man, you better fear a rattlesnake. You better fear a Big Mac truck. You better fear one of these motorhomes driven by an 80-year-old. Amen or oh me. You might ought to fear Mercury. You might ought to fear it driven by me. No fear. What did I just read you in the first chapter of the book of Revelation? No fear? Come on, man. Kiss the Son. Approach Him with fear and trembling, lest you make Him angry.
Amen.
You know what? I've been saved 55 years, I think. I still fear God. I fear displeasing Him. I fear not fulfilling His expectations. He knows I'm not perfect. He knows me. He called me the way I was. But I fear. I fear sometimes I let Him down. I don't want Him disappointed in me. And I fear that if I got myself really backslidden out of the way, He just might take away a lot of my blessings. Because they're gifts. You don't know that they're gifts? Your ability to hold down that good paying job, that's a gift.
Amen.
That means all the little blood vessels in your brain are still running to where it's supposed to go.
Amen.
And all they got to do is take one. You'd have to look at a microscope to see and shut it off. And you're not doing your job anymore. You understand the blessings God's given you? Hey, I've been a diabetic 25 years. I'm still walking on both feet. I'm still seeing out of both eyes. That is a gift. I'm not the best diabetic in the world. I'm sorry to say, I apologize to say it, but I'm not the best diabetic in the world. But I'm still walking. I didn't think I would be. 19 years ago, when I built my house, I made the bathroom doors 3 feet wide for my wheelchair. I haven't had to go through them in a wheelchair. I'm thankful. When John turned around, his best friend on earth, the last living apostle in exile on the Isle of Patmos, in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, he heard this great voice. He turned around to see the voice, and he fell like dead. Boom. And you, you are going to be a smart aleck in the face of God? You haven't got a brain in your head. Absolutely. What a chapter. Fellas, he said, look, if you will, at chapter 19 in the book of Revelation. Chapter 19, verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress in fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Doesn't look like the Savior, does it? Doesn't look like the slain lamb, does it?
Amen.
This is the God you're going to face.
Amen.
Chapter 1 of Revelation, chapter 19 of Revelation give you a real good picture of who Jesus is now. And I want you to know when He comes back, He wins.
Amen.
He doesn't lose. He wins. Nobody stands up to Him. The devil himself is going to lose. The Antichrist is going to lose. The Anti-Spirit, the Anti-Prophet, they're all going to lose when they stand up against this man. This is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords who's coming back to reign. Oh, if I could reason with you, Christian, my Christian friend, if I could reason with you, bow your heart. Humble yourself. Don't be so proud. Don't think that you can just stand up against anybody. I know you're cocky. I know some of you are young. Bless your hearts. Take a look at that. That is not a weak man. That is not a crucified man hanging up on a cross, shedding his blood. That's not a lamb. That is not a negotiator.
Amen.
That is not someone to give you your way or you can bargain with. Do you think you can actually bargain with a God like that? You're out of your mind. Humble yourself.
Amen.
Recognize Him as Lord. He is Lord. And I want you to understand, even if you're here and you're not saved, He's your Lord. You say, I don't recognize Him as Lord. It doesn't make any difference.
Amen.
You can tell the policeman when he pulls you over to give you a traffic ticket, I don't recognize your right to give me a ticket. He said, I don't care. What I care. You can walk up to the judge and say, I don't recognize your judge to judge me. He said, 30 days in jail. He said, I don't care if you recognize my right. I got them. I've got power. I can do something with it. Humble yourself. Now, what that is looking at two Psalms and how they relate in the New Testament. Psalm 110 is a Psalm of David, and just two verses there, you saw very quickly, it's about the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's a messianic Psalm. Psalm 2 has to be. Just think about this again. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear. Rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry and you perish from the way, when His wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in Him. Lord bless you.